AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And I actually just went to the CSU Channel Islands graduation last Saturday, and it was wonderful. One of the most amazing things is the president of the school at the beginning of the graduation said to everyone, if you are a graduate today and you are the first in your family to graduate, please stand up. And I would say 70% of the people stood up. Really, really amazing. We are here with Sue Isiger, who is the founder and the executive director of NatureTrack. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for being here. So tell us about NatureTrack. What is NatureTrack?
So NatureTrack is a nonprofit, local nonprofit. We provide outdoor field trips that are aligned with the in-classroom units of study, utilizing all local trails and beaches throughout the county. We provide these field trips for all Santa Barbara County school-aged children, students, and we don't charge. There is no cost to the school or the student, and we even cover their transportation.
So you must be very wealthy that you can do this. I'm kidding. So we're going to talk about that later, yeah. But if you like what you hear, there's going to be places we can direct you to help. So when you say you're aligned with the schools, it's not just a casual thing where you tell the schools you can do this, you speak to them about what they're teaching?
So we're actually, it's word of mouth as far as how teachers have heard about us since we started this in 2011. Where we learn what the teachers want to have us emphasize during the field trip is the online reservation form. The teachers simply fill that out. It's a first-come, first-served basis for the dates that are available for teachers to select. And on that reservation form, they tell us at the time of their trip what they would like us to emphasize based on what they are studying in their classroom at that time, or what maybe a unit they just finished. So they might tell us that it's a review for something that they've been learning, or it might be a brand new concept, so it's just an introduction. And what we do is we supplement that in-classroom unit of study with the hands-on experiential learning out on the trails.
So the teacher comes too?
Oh, yes.
And so the teacher can talk about whatever it is that she or he has been teaching in the classroom, and then you and your people also?
Mm-hmm. The teacher can jump in at any time. In fact, we allow them time at the beginning of the field trip, if they elect to take it, to remind the students of what they had been studying, what the field trip is all about. And then we break off into groups. And we're an all-volunteer organization, and we keep our groups to 5 students to 1 NatureTrack volunteer. So it's a very small ratio. The students are getting that individualized attention. And when they're out on the trail, they're with another docent and 5 students. So there's always 2 NatureTrack volunteers together with 10 students. And then either the teacher might be in that group, or a parent chaperone, or a student's aide, or it just might be the 2 NatureTrack volunteers out with the 10 students. But keeping the group small when you're out in nature is wonderful, because really allows that child to have that attention and to, you know, when they see something that they're curious about and have somebody else to show, have that adult figure to show it to, they're really excited about that.
And do the teachers not do class that day? Is this during the school day, or is it
yes,
on the weekends?
It's during the traditional school day. And one of the reasons I structured NatureTrack that way was, first of all, to be able to offer field trips to to schools because budget transportations had been cut so drastically that field trips were almost non-existent, especially outdoor field trips. So NatureTrack fills that gap. Second, to support the teachers' efforts because they're asked to do so much with little funding. And if we can make learning come alive for those students, we're helping them, allowing kind of a springboard for the teacher to take when they're back in the classroom to remind children of what they were experienced when they're out on the trail, when they're trying to cover concepts in the classroom that are difficult if it's not, if they're not right there. An example is erosion. I mean, you can look at a picture or you can stand in a creek bed, and it's just so much easier to get the idea of what erosion is all about when you're right there than trying to just look at a book and a picture.
You could take everybody to Montecito.
Right. Yeah, sadly. Yeah.
So what happens if you have a class of 30 kids and the whole class has to go then because the teacher's not going to be there?
We do groups up to 60.
So, but what is the logistics? If the teacher doesn't get everyone to go, how does the teacher get excused from school that day?
Well, so our field trips are aligned with the standards, and the curriculum and standards are listed on the website, and the teacher has been allowed release time based on the fact that in most cases, based on the fact that it's complementing or supplementing their classroom study, and so the teachers come along. They can't, of course, be in every group. But we encourage the teachers to have groups share their experiences back in the classroom just for the sheer sake of being with different volunteers and being on different trails. They're all having a different experience. And so it's great for them to learn from their classmates.
And what age group is typically makes up these adventures?
We actually do field trips for kindergarten through 12th grade. Probably the most field trips we do are anywhere from between second and sixth grade. We're out with a lot of those students. Since founding in 2011, in fact, it's higher than this, but earlier this year we had surpassed 16,000 children, students out on our local trails and beaches. But back to doing this during the traditional school day is the fact that multiple facts. One, kids are definitely plugged into the electronic world, more so than any generation before them, and they spend less time in nature than any generation before them. So the future of having stewards of our natural resources or natural world is a bit unnerving. So then add that to the fact that students participate in sports, which is fabulous. My boys did sports. Organized sports are just tremendous. But they're so competitive now that you have tournaments on weekends, you have practice almost every night after school. So they have limited time when they can actually get out and connect to nature. So, and one of our overarching goals is to connect kids back to nature and show them how exciting it is so that they will want to protect it in the future and become stewards. So during the traditional school day, they have time. And if we are supporting the teachers' efforts, then it's a win-win for everyone.
And the schools, all the schools in the county are willing to do this? You have had no pushback?
All the schools are eligible to do it.
But do they do it? I mean,
Not all schools have done it yet. I think we've had over 80 schools that have participated. And I say that because I don't have the exact stats in front of me. But it is word of mouth. And the feedback has been very good. We actually send surveys to the teachers after every field trip, ask for their feedback so that we can improve upon every trip. So it's not we want to reach about 4,000 or more students per year, but what I want to make sure is that every trip is as good as the last, if not better. So,
you know, we've had other groups on that have had as their focus nature, and you know, we live in a community that you would think, since we're right next to the mountains, that everyone has been up there. And they tell me, and I guess you've had the same experience, where there are kids who live in this community who have never been on trails.
Absolutely, they have never been on the trails, and some have never been to the beach. It's amazing. I had a little boy next to me as we were heading out on the trail out at Midland School Trails, and literally surrounded by trees, and he looked up and he said, "Is this nature?" And just very sincere. He wasn't, you know, so they just aren't connected for a variety of reasons. But it would be nice to get them more unplugged from the electronic world.
That reminds me, when I was 4 or 5 years old, I went into my parents and I asked them, I had the newspaper in my hand. I said, can you show me where the front page is? I heard about the front page of the news, but I didn't know it was the first page. Is this nature? You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Sue Isiger, who is the executive director of Nature Track. And, you know, I just said that AHA is involved with emotional learning and character building. This is probably very much aligned with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about nature, and we'll talk a lot more about nature, but it also, I think, I would imagine, helps these kids in more ways than just simply nature.
Oh, yeah, to just have them experience nature. In fact, it helps everyone, not just the kids. So our volunteers are getting the benefit of being in nature for the 3 or 4 hours that they're out with the students. But we have very little discipline problems, actually, over the 7 seasons, just none to speak of that were tremendously a problem, because nature is really, it's relaxing. There are studies out there that kids with ADHD can focus better when they're out in nature, because our groups are smaller, too, and they have that adult supervision and interaction. That helps a lot, too, because they like that attention. But it really, they seem very grounded after the field trip and excited that they got to do something really cool, and that nature is cool.
You know, I attended I do every year because she's a friend of mine, a think tank in L.A. that talks about the neuroscience behind young children and babies and how 0 to 2 is the most important years of brain development. And one of the things I talked about is how you need to give kids the opportunity to sing, to dance, to go out into the wild, mm-hmm. not just for the psychological, but also for the physiological. There's, you know, this whole science now about how cortisol is not being released properly, and it's causing anxiety and causing depression. And so many schools over the, in the country are canceling, for example, gym. Mm-hmm. And so here, this is extreme gym in a way mm-hmm. that, and so there are probably benefits to doing this that we don't even know about, of getting these kids out in a place that they can express, that they can deal with some of the tensions that they are building up inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good habit to get into.
And they get to take they get to take a little risk. I think too often now kids aren't taking any risk at all. You know, they're walking along a trail. They're doing things that maybe sometimes isn't comfortable to them, but they're doing it. They're accomplishing it. I mean, sometimes we do a pretty long hike that to some of them are just like, I can't do that. But when they do it, they feel so proud that they did it. Speaking of hikes, originally we were calling them adventures because, you know, not everyone likes to go hiking, but everyone wants to go on an adventure. So, but we actually found the kids enjoy the hiking part. And we stop so often to really let them observe, because that's the biggest thing about Nature Track, is that we want the kids to be curious about what's out there. Because when you're curious, you really, then that's when you start learning something. They do say that you really don't learn anything unless you're curious about it. It's not of interest.
And these kids, they spend the whole day? This is a whole day?
The trips are normally from 9 a.m. to 1 o'clock. We've been somewhat limited because of the bus schedules, where buses are, you know, taking kids to school in the morning, and then they have the afternoon schedule. So we need to fit the trips in between those commitments. I'm hoping that we will be able to do longer trips in some of our locations, just so that we can not feel rushed when we're out on the trails and that. And so I'm going to look at that next year and hopefully be able to bring back some of the longer trips.
Did the fires or floods eliminate? I know it eliminated a lot of trails, but did it affect any of the trails you go to?
No, actually, we were very fortunate. It did, though. We did cancel some trips because of the smoke before the holidays. And then, of course, some of the schools being closed and that. But we did luck out with our locations. And we have 14 different locations that we utilize and always looking to add more.
I see one of the locations, I should probably join your group, is a place I go to every morning, the Douglas Preserve, to walk my dogs. And one day I'll probably look up and see a group of kids and I'll know it's you. I can wave.
Yeah, you'll run into us there. And the Arroyo Burro Beach is a great location. And I don't know if folks know how geology in our area can just literally comes alive when you're at the beach. And it's one of the best places for kids to really see the geology of the area and stand there and look up at the mountains and look at the inclines and synclines right there on the cliff. And you know, it's amazing when you ask people, where does the sand come from? We're asking students and we're asking adults, and many people don't know. So it's a great location. All of our beaches are, but that one offers the diversity of being up in the Douglas Preserve and then being down on the beach.
Right.
And then we've also joined forces with the Watershed Resource Center, and at times trade, we utilize their program as well, with half of our group at the Watershed Resource Center and half the group out on the beach with us or at the preserve, and then trade places. So it's a great trip for the students. They get the best of both.
I never thought of myself as of not being well educated. I have a master's degree, and it never occurred to me where these big boulders that are around Montecito came from. And now I know. I thought it just came from, they just kind of grew up from underground.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's so much ignorance about geology and our environment that it's just, you know, at my age, I still was surprised that all these boulders that came down in January have done it over the eons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have a lot of boulders in town.
Yeah.
The majority of your kids, you said, are like 5 to 8 or 9 or 10? Or
well, second grade to 5th and 6th grade. So
but
8
it,
to
so
12.
From the docents and from your point of view, it must be interesting to take a 12th grader versus the younger kid. It must be a totally different experience for you.
Well, it is and it isn't, because to see the 12th graders get excited about being out in nature is pretty cool. And they're in the same boat, a lot of them, having not been exposed to nature as much as we all were growing up. So we tend to run the field trips very similarly with younger kids and older kids, except for, of course, the topics and that. But, you know, we engage them through asking questions, through getting them to go through some basic steps of I notice, I wonder, it reminds me of, and could it be? Mm-hmm. And those are ways that they're going to remember that. We also do a lot with journaling. We had we've had now two workshops with Jack Laws, John Muir Laws, and yes, he is a distant relative of John Muir, but he is a naturalist and an artist, and he's up in San Francisco. And if you've ever hiked in the Sierras, he's done the majority of those illustrated guides. But he has taught us the importance of journaling. So we provide each student with a small journal that we make in-house through volunteers, and they're able to journal however they want. There are no rules when we give them the journals. It's their journal. They don't have to spell correctly. If they don't prefer to draw, they can simply write. They can do simple sound maps. But so we see second graders doing that, and we see 12th graders doing it. And so maybe because neither group has been that exposed to nature, we see the same excitement in both.
Haven't been that exposed to paper and pencil either.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so at least thank goodness somebody hasn't asked, what is this?
Yeah, I know. What do I do with this?
Yeah.
And the other advantage of probably taking them on these hikes is there's no cell service.
No, the majority. And we, the cell phones go away. And teachers will ask if they are allowed to use them only to take pictures. And in some cases, that's fine. You know, but most cases they go away. And even with the parents who come as chaperones or to participate, we ask them, or they know that they have to do all the activities the kids are doing. Mm-hmm. And that also means their cell phones go away, or if it's, you know, important that they take a call, that they step away from the group.
How often do you go personally?
Well, I try to go on as many every trip. This year, though, because we launched the Nature Track Film Festival, mm-hmm. I missed many of the trips. Now that the film festival is behind me, I've been out, and I have to say, I realized I really missed that time being outdoors. Mm. It really grounded me when I got back, and you know, from a field trip, and realized if I'd maybe taken those 2 or 3 hours while I was planning the film festival, it would have been better for me.
Well, when we return, we're going to talk about the film festival. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Sue Isiger, the executive director and founder of Nature Track. And before the break, we were talking about the film festival, and not the one at the end of January with all the famous stars, the more interesting one in Los Olivos. So tell us about it.
So this year was the first year that we launched the Nature Track Film Festival, and it's really an extension of our mission. Our overarching mission of Nature Track is to connect kids to the natural world and to create an attitude of lifelong learning for and to become stewards of our natural resources. So the film festival grew out of that as a way to reach more people, not just students. But the film festival this year had over 59 films from over 20 different countries, all nature-related films. And films that from different categories of student-based, student-produced, outdoor and out of bounds, which is your extreme outdoor activities, adventure, kids connecting to nature, and then environmental. And we had environmental films, but what I wanted in including those was to show another film that showed somebody doing something about the problem. And so, for example, we had Chasing Coral this year, but we also showed We Live Under the Sea. So it's the short film after that showed how they were working to restore the reefs that are disappearing rapidly. But anyway, the films all were geared towards exciting you to get outdoors. And so anyway, from 20 different countries, we had probably 15 filmmakers. The furthest one, or the person who traveled the furthest, was from Afghanistan, and it was a great first year, and we're getting ready to launch the second year. In fact, I leave tomorrow to go do a little research at the Mountain Film Festival in Telluride, and the next year's will be March 21st through the 24th in Los Olivos again.
So what's the economics of this? Is this a fundraiser or this is just a thing to do for the community?
So, two parts of it. It's great for the community. It's great for the area. And two, I think that eventually it can be a funding source for Nature Track. It's a festival with a cause, and having done our research, attended the Fest Forum, many people today are looking to attend festivals that really do have a cause that's meaningful to them. And so everything that is made from the film festival goes right into Nature Track. It's under the umbrella of the Nature Track nonprofit.
And how was the attendance this year?
Well, we filled 1,000 seats, so that was great. Mm-hmm. But we did have more seats to fill. So it in doing our research and learning about starting film festivals, they do say don't go into a film festival thinking it's going to be a fundraiser. I'm hoping that we will come closer, or we will at least break even next year and maybe make a little. But we didn't do that this year.
Well, that's great. It took many years for the Santa Barbara Film Festival to get some momentum going. So don't feel that one year is nothing. The story of Nature Track really revolves around your story, and we haven't really gotten into your story. So tell us about the start of your life. Were you brought up in New York City and wanted to see what the nature was when you were 30, or have you been were you always involved with nature?
So, well, I grew up in Colorado, and we did do a lot outside. I think I don't remember spending much time inside, but then, of course, I grew up when we had three stations, and so there wasn't a lot of TV to watch anyway. Certainly didn't have a cell phone, still had the rotary phone. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so no, we played outside all the time. My mom took us to the mountains for picnics on weekends, and honestly, when you think about it, nature is pretty cheap. You can just go up there and enjoy it, and you don't fork out $20 for a movie or you know, another 10 for popcorn. You just go out and explore and play and get dirty and have fun.
And did you go to school and study environmental or something, geology, or was there anything in your education that forestalled or whatever the term is this?
Actually not. I went to Colorado College and I studied business. But I think that's helped. And then I also, my husband and I had our own business for a while, and I think having your own business really grounds you in what it takes to the importance of every aspect of the business. That is what the costs are, and you, where to be cautious, or to always be cautious, I should say. But in order to make it successful, there's some risks that you do take. You know, you just calculated risks.
And your husband's a pilot.
Yeah, well, talking about risk. That's his passion. Yeah. He's a private pilot. Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
You spend time in Alaska, which is certainly not the typical Santa Barbarian. That's an adventure by itself.
Yeah. No, right out of college, we headed to Alaska and thought we were just going to stay for the summer, and spent 5 years there and really enjoyed it and just played hard, worked hard, played hard. So it was, it really opened your eyes to the beauty of the natural world. So it's one of our favorite places to go, and we try to go back there as often as we can.
When you take these kids or offer these kids an opportunity, do you ever get pushback from the parents who don't understand why they're losing? I guess you have to get permission from every parent.
Oh, yeah. We have a waiver that every parent signs, and then the schools have their permission slips as well.
And is there ever an issue with the parents?
No. Out of the 7 seasons, there's only been one time where there was a parent a little concerned about our waiver, and that was it. So, no. Sometimes parents come along and they have smiles on their faces too. So I think they're enjoying it almost as much as the kids.
So, because sometimes the parents are so overwhelmed with their life that they can't really appreciate going for a walk in the nature, and I guess one of the benefits could be the kids come back and say, "Mom and Dad, this was great."
Yeah. Well, some of the best notes we've gotten from students have been the ones where they said, in fact, this was one from a little boy named Carter. He said it was a little thank you note, and at the end it said, "P.S. I took my family there where I hiked and told them everything I learned." Wow. And so the whole family went. And we've had other notes from students talking about wanting to take their families there. And when we do finish trips with kids, we encourage them to come back out to the trails where they've been and to bring their families.
Do you talk about discipline in the sense that when you're in nature, you're no longer in the safety of an urban community, there's a higher degree of responsibility required. So is that part of the experience where you are telling these kids about how you need to listen, how you need to be aware differently than you would be in your home?
First of all, we don't want them frightened of nature. So we're very careful about how we tell them some of the rules and the cautions that they have to adhere to. But mostly, if they know, we want them to just really look closely at everything. And we always have a nature track docent in the front. And we either have an adult, whether that's a parent or a teacher, in the back, or the second nature track docent in the back. So the kids are always between two adults. And they've been told how you do hike on trails and you leave space. And because this is new to many of them, they've never gone out, one in a group, or if they have even gone out. And then, we let them wade in creeks. They take off their shoes and socks and wade in creeks. And so, you know, we give them the pointers on how to put your foot down and not, you know, make sure it's not going to hurt until you step, put all your weight on. So, we want them to not be fearful of nature at all.
And the docents are trained?
Well, we have docent classes, yeah. But the great thing is we want the docents to learn right along with the kids, because there is nothing worse than taking kids out and just bringing them up to a point and telling them everything you know, because their eyes will just glaze over. But if you ask them questions and they're really looking for something and you learn it with them together, it's just so much more powerful.
And I would imagine the docents come from experience from the fact that their kid went 2 years ago? Is that where?
No, our volunteers, the majority of our volunteers are retirees from all different professions. We have psychologists, pilots, ship captains, retired professors, retired administrators, but they all have that love of getting outdoors and sharing it with the kids. They really enjoy the kids. And so the other positive is that a lot of these kids aren't around their grandparents because we've all moved away from family now. So they have a grandparent figure in their life, and not only out hiking with them, but maybe doing some cool things with geology and like, wow, that, you know. Yeah, the other day I was walking with my hiking poles, and the little boy said to me, "I know why you need those poles, because you're sort of old, and they keep you upright." And so, anyway, but so I think that's a benefit to it as well, that they're around a grandparent figure. But we also have a nice base of college students that volunteer. So now we've got that mix of the cool college student talking to the kids, and they're learning about college. So
I guess the fact that they're older is because they have the time to do this and during the day. And although I hate to use the word older, because when I look in the mirror, I realize I'm older.
We're part of that.
Yeah, we're part of that. We're going to take a break, actually. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online. Online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. We're here today with Sue Isiger, the executive director of Nature Track. And one of the things that I read that I did not, one of the few things I read that I did not understand is something you call flow learning. What is flow learning?
So flow learning is an educational program that Joseph Cornell created. And Joseph Cornell is one of the leading naturalist educators. I wouldn't say the first, because of course naturalists have been around forever. But it's a program where it's utilizing nature games and drawing and getting the kids excited and bringing them, focusing them, and then giving them the direct experience and then allowing them to review and share that. So the way we work with flow learning in Nature Track is utilizing the awakening enthusiasm, maybe a nature game that gets them all excited. So kids get off the bus. They're still talking about what's going on at school and everything. We want to bring them out into nature and get them excited. So either in small groups or larger groups, we'll do an activity that is nature related and a nature game, if you call it that. And then a simple focus activity, going into that focus activity might be as simple as having 10 objects on a bandana that's covered up. You uncover it, you let them look at it for 4 or 5 seconds, and you cover it up, and now you ask them what was on there. So now everyone's totally focused because they're thinking about what they saw, and now you have their attention, and you can talk in an inside voice, and you're outside, and you're doing that direct experience, whether at the beginning of the trip that might be telling them, you know, what the day is going to be like. Or it might be you might have done this activity while you're out on the trail because you're at a critical point where there's something that would be really important for them to grasp the concept of. But then after that, at the end of the day, we always have time where the docents spend with their group to let them share the experience of the day. We do different things where they'll maybe tell us something that was challenging, something that maybe they didn't like, and then something that they learned or something that they thought was awesome, and just kind of close out the day that way. Or share their journals. I mentioned that we do a lot of journaling. Some of the kids are very proud of their journals and want to put them out and show everyone, and especially share with the docent. So.
And if the whole class doesn't go, do the teachers sometimes use the journals and the kids to share with the people, the kids who didn't go in class?
Probably, but for the most part, the whole class is going. Exceptions are, of course, if the child's homesick. But it's rarely been the case where kids have been left behind back at school.
How do the docents hear about this? They don't have their grandparents. They don't have kids in school. How do they know about this opportunity?
So again, pretty much word of mouth, and docent get a docent, if you will. They invite their friends. We put up various flyers in different places. The traditional poster with the tear-off card in strategic places where we'd probably find people, like-minded people. And that has worked very well. But we have a roster of over 100 volunteers. And that includes some of our college students. Not all of those people are out on the trails with us, but we have people who are helping with just events or helping with say, back office projects, whether it's the annual appeal or whatever. But we have a really nice pool of volunteers. And I have to tell you, the kids are wonderful too, but the docents are equally wonderful, if maybe not even better. And I kind of take that, I think it's Richard Bramson, am I saying that right, of Virgin Atlantic, and that, you know, the docents are our employees, if you will, even though we're all volunteers, and you treat them like gold, because that's why Nature Track works. And if they feel that, they feel special and honored in that, then they're going to portray that to our customers, our students, or teachers. So,
well, you don't need advice from me, but one of the interesting things would be to take this to another constituency, which is older people, as not just kids. You know, take some people who are older and not on steep slopes, but you know, give them an opportunity to get out there. And you know, a lot of people probably at a older age haven't had this experience either.
So.
I know you told me you take full credit for everything, but you also were influenced by David Sobel in creating this.
No.
So tell us about David Sobel.
Well, so his place-based education book, the part of it that we've utilized is just that being out in nature, and the kids need to learn what's in their own backyard. So that his program even goes further and into the community in that. We do the nature part of it. And if you think about it, now, some kids are learning more about rainforests than they are about the chaparral that's in their backyard. So for us to be able to take them out and learn what's in their backyard, they can appreciate it more. And it's human nature that if you appreciate something, if you understand it and enjoy it, then you'll want to protect it. So so that's the part of his program, is just getting them out there to experience it. He also gets them out into the community to experience other aspects of the entire community too.
What's so interesting about ignorance is that you don't know that you're ignorant when you're ignorant. And, you know, one of the things that I was really shocked about is how little I knew about the mountains that surround my home. And I learned about it through, unfortunately, the floods and the fires. I learned what chaparral does for us. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned about creek erosion. I learned a little bit of more geology than I ever knew. And so, you know, there's so much... So many things you can learn at any age that, and you just don't know you can learn it, because if you do, you probably would know it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should be a docent for us, because we offer all these docent classes, and that's just all part of it. There's no cost to the volunteers to attend those, and some are on geology, natural history, other natural history topics, but then the nature journaling I mentioned.
Do you allow your docents to bring their dogs with you on hikes?
No, we don't.
See, that eliminates me. So. My dogs get really, they're very, very jealous. They like to go
hiking.
Don't
tell them you're going.
So David Sobel, in his work, looking at some of the things I've read, he does more than just look at nature, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
More of a... all-encompassing mm-hmm. thing for the, and you try to integrate that into your program as mm-hmm. well, about how do you develop the child or the in other areas.
Right, but our focus is more on the nature than what he is providing in his entire program. Mm. So, but yeah, he takes it out into really working within the community and having community members work with the students and that. So.
So the day you thought of this, did you just think of it? Did it come to you as a dream where everything
no.
was put together, or was it like
no.
a little bit like I want to do? And what was the first little bit?
So I was actually doing outreach back. Well, first of all, I had I was very fortunate to be able to stay home and raise my boys for 12 years. I have two sons; they're now 25 and 22. But when I went back to work, I ended up getting a part-time job at UCSB's Sedgwick Reserve, doing their outreach program and their educational, their K-12. Educational program. And I was there about four years, and realized I really wanted to be able to reach more students. And it was my husband who said, why don't you do this on your own? Hmm. And he bought me the book, How to Form a 501c3, How to Write a One-Page Business Plan. And I just followed the book page by page and submitted my form, and Lois Lerner signed it off.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back, believe it or not, with our final segment.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Yeah. Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Sue Isaker, Executive Director of Nature Track. And we talked about all the good things that happen with these students when they go on these trips. Were you able to sort of find a sort of common set of weaknesses in our community when you first see these kids? Are there obvious things that a lot of these kids don't have that they need to have?
They have a bit of a fear of being outdoors, of being out on the trails, or they don't want to sit down on the ground to eat their lunch because they all bring their lunches and we just sit right on the ground and eat our lunches. And some kids absolutely will stand up the entire time eating their lunch.
Wow. So that's because?
They're just not used to being out. Some of them have a fear of getting dirty. They're worried that they shouldn't go home dirty. Most of them get over it, though, by the end of the trip, and they're having a great time.
And they come back dirty.
Yeah, they come back dirty. I mean, the dirtier, the better. But, no, given the fact that they still have to go back to part of their day at school, we don't send them home muddy.
Yeah. So how can people help? First of all, they can become docents.
Oh, that would be terrific. Volunteers are golden. So if anyone would want to volunteer, we welcome you. It's an incredible group of people. You learn right along with the kids. We offer a variety of classes throughout the year. And to start, you just jump right in. And we have people start with a more experienced docent, so you're never left with just kids by any means your first day out, but even your second trip, you're just enjoying the day. And so it's learning while on the job, if you will. And if you never want to lead, that's fine too. You can always just assist with a group or do other things for Nature Track.
And if you want to be a docent, how do they get in touch with you?
On the website, there's a docent, I guess it's called application. It's just really a questionnaire. Simply fill that out. I get the email, and then I'll be in touch, and we will let you know when trips are coming up. And our mantra, this is kind of the most important thing for volunteers, is that Nature Track fits around their schedule. No one has to schedule around Nature Track. There's no set number of hours required. If something comes up, just let us know that you can't make a trip that you signed up for. I am very good at finding a plan B, plan C. So I just don't want anyone to feel like this is a job, because for the most part, because I'd mentioned we have many folks that are retired, they don't want a job. They just want to do something they enjoy.
And your website is www.naturetrack.org. And what about someone wants to give money and not give their legs? How do you give money?
The same on the website. There's a donate button to push. We also take cars for donations. It's through the organization that donates the cars, and then we get a small check for that. But donations just there on the website.
Do you have any events, fundraising events?
Hopefully this film festival will turn into the fundraising event. We do an annual appeal every year, and it's been very, very good to us. We have some very generous and very committed donors.
And do you get donations from the families of kids who realize this has been a really great asset for their kids?
Well, you know, I don't mail to those parents. On their waiver, we do have a box where they could, if they want to stay informed about Nature Track events, but I'm certainly not taking the addresses and mailing them. I hope that eventually it comes around and they realize the benefit that their child has had and that they will donate.
So. Well, I hope that people listening will realize what a wonderful thing this is. And if you're around the neighborhood, we're going to go on a hike right after this at the studio. Thank you so much, Sue, for everything that you do and for being here today. And hopefully people will donate. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.